The other day, we find out that the elf on the shelf, Jeff Sessions, is going to run for Senate, Alabama. Now we find out Michael Bloomberg is going to run for, I'm guessing, has filed paperwork to potentially run for president in the primary in Alabama. Not before then, I guess, just in Alabama. And I think that's got to do something with signatures or not having to actually do any real work. We'll see. Here to share some thoughts on, the elf in the shelf and Mike Bloomberg and all of the craziness of the day, our good friend Sarah Burris, reporter over at Raw Story. Sarah, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So what do you think? You think Bloomberg's got a shot at winning Alabama?
Oh, my God. It was one of those things where I saw the news and I thought, you remember that time Stephen Colbert ran for president of South Carolina? Nowhere
yes.
else. Just of South Carolina. That's kind of what I thought was happening. But what's actually happening is that I don't think that he can get on the ballot in Iowa and New Hampshire. I mean, obviously, if he was going to, I think he has to file in New Hampshire, like, in the next couple of days. So I don't know why he's not filing for New Hampshire, but whatever. The next deadline that is up, though, is Alabama. After that, I think the next deadline is Arkansas, maybe. So I guess we'll find out, you know, is Alabama a test balloon? Or is he going to move on to a primary race in Arkansas after that and then go forward from there?
I don't know why you jump in this late. Why? I think it's just a, hey, look at me. Give me some attention. Give me some attention.
Well, what he had originally said, probably 8 months ago, maybe, was that he was really putting all of his money behind, well, not his money, but he was putting his support behind the idea that, you know, Joe Biden would be this great middle of the road centrist, which ironically enough, Joe Biden never really was that big of a centrist, but whatever. And I think he thought of Biden as somebody who was the likely winner. And obviously Biden's campaign has proved to everybody that they can screw up being handed something easy. And so I think Bloomberg is looking at this thinking, you know, oh crap. You know, somebody who can actually win the nomination and then also win the general is needed. And I think that's why he's running. Either that or he just wants the rest of us to make fun of him, which is entirely possible.
Yeah. Or look, I was telling my wife earlier, you know, I remember his last mayoral run. I think the amount of money that he spent equaled like $104 per vote. So he's not against the idea of buying as many votes as possible.
Which is really sad because I love this idea of, you know, the campaign that is doing the legwork on the ground. I think that not only party builds, right? Like it's going to help the rest of the party down ticket and it's going to help build the party for that state. But, you know, I think it helps for the general election too. And yeah. If he's just trying to run a whole bunch of ads on TV, like, come on, we shouldn't be running races like that anymore.
At least you hope not. We should be knocking on doors and doing all that hard work.
We need person-to-person contact, especially this election. I think that is how we are going to win stuff, is we have to do that very person-to-person connection because that's how we're going to change people's minds.
Well, it's the only way you're going to be able to break the social media stuff and all of the misinformation that's out there. It's a lot
exactly.
harder to, you know, in fact, you know, I just had one of these conversations yesterday where someone is just throwing out a bunch of, you know, giant whoppers. And, you know, and every time they would throw something out, I would be going, wait a second, does that even pass the smell test? Does it make any sense on any level what you just said? And they would stop and think about it and go, well, maybe you're right. The one guy told me that Congress, if they work one day, they get health care for life. I'm going, no, they don't. Where'd you hear that? But, you know, it's one of these, oh, it's widely, it's on the internet. Oh, yeah, it must be true then.
You have to be in Congress for, I think it's 10 years to get health care for life.
10 years and a day.
So, and, there you go.
And that's only in the House. It's my understanding that, I mean, that's only in like the state of Pennsylvania. It's my understanding that Congress doesn't get that anymore. You know, because I have
really?
a friend Bob Ney, who was in Congress for almost ever, and he gets nothing.
Because,
in fact, you know, I just talked to him not too long ago. He had a heart attack and didn't have health insurance. And, you know, he's basically screwed financially because, you know, and that wasn't a full-blown heart attack. You know, and it's a lot of money. But he was, you know, he was in Congress all that time and doesn't have lifetime health care. So, again, all of these things that we just know it's true, not so much.
Yeah.
But back to your point. I mean, I think it's important to have those conversations and to hash that stuff out. That I saw it on Facebook.
And if it's on Facebook, then clearly it's true. Like, that's what Mark Zuckerberg has said, is that he's not going to fact check anything, except for Adrell Hamilton. Did you hear that story about the guy in California who decided he's going to run for governor?
Yep.
So that he can run ads that are lies.
He would do nothing but lie.
Yeah, and Facebook shut him down. And it's like, oh, okay, so let me understand this. You're selectively shutting down this guy because he's admitting to the lie. If he didn't admit to the lie, all right.
If he lied about the lie. If he would only lie about the lie.
Exactly. And this is our life now. I wish there was something that we could do with the Facebook. I hope that he sues them.
What we do with Facebook, Sarah, is we ignore it. We stop.
I mean, I've done that for a while now. I don't use Facebook through the news feed.
Nope.
I follow, you know, the people that I care about, and so I get the notifications about them, and then I just click directly to their page, and that's how you get away with not looking through the news feed. And I haven't seen ads in 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that drives me crazy about Facebook is every story you read is 3 years old.
Yeah.
It's crazy. First thing you got to do when you read a story is check the date, because it's all old stuff, and that's something else. But I want to get some of your thoughts on the impeachment, because evidently we're going to next week. Yay. Donald Trump tweeted out today, and this has been on my mind all day, that evidently it was just explained to him how impeachment works. Someone just explained to him what impeachment is. Now, understand, this is something that's been hanging over his head almost from day one. You'd have thought maybe he would have read that little piece of paper that he put his hand on the Bible and swore to uphold and defend. Maybe you'd have thought he'd have read it.
I would say, too, the dude, you know, sits there and looks at his phone and tweets all day. So Google, I mean, just a thought. Maybe Google what it is. You remember the time he found out what Article 2 of the Constitution was, and he was just spouting that off for several days? So I just wonder if this means he's going to start being like, well, you know, I didn't bribe anybody. Be like, yeah, you did, buddy.
Well, that's the whole read the transcript thing. Did you see the idiots with the – in fact, he tweeted it out today. Read the transcripts. And I go, okay, I did. I read George Kent's transcript. It's bad.
Yeah, my favorite thing to do is every time he says read the transcript, is I post that screen cap from the transcript with the lines highlighted, and it's like, this is what it says. This is the bribery. And it's weird to agree with him, but it's just like, yeah, no, everybody, read the transcript. Actually read it, because, you know, if you just wear the T-shirt, then that's not actually reading it. That's just wearing a T-shirt. You need to actually read the transcript and see the bribery for yourself. And if you actually do read it, then you will see the bribery.
Maybe he can't read.
Maybe. I mean, we've talked about how he wears glasses and he refuses to wear them, which is why he keeps screwing up the teleprompter all the time, but... Maybe he's so ADD that he literally can't sit down and read it, which is something Seth Meyers made fun of the other night. They're just like, or no, it was John Oliver was like, oh yeah, Trump's going to sit down and do a fireside chat and read 2,000 words without going off on a tangent, please.
And
we've
known
this guy for how many years? Has he ever been capable of doing that?
Yeah, you're right. No, I mean, I love watching some of the rallies just to see what, because there's literally no filter. It's like he's got diarrhea of the mouth. It just flows. It just comes right out.
And can you tell the difference between when he's reading and when he's talking?
Yes.
I mean, there's just, it's a different voice that he even does. And he's, squints more, and you know, you can tell that he's reading the teleprompter. This is what he's supposed to say versus, you know, when he just pops off about whatever.
Yeah, see, I can't beat him up for that, because you can really tell when I'm reading and when I'm talking to. I think you can tell with just about anybody. Because there's a different cadence, there's a different sentence structure to the written word than there is to the spoken word. And understand, he speaks in hyper fragments, and not even full thoughts. So it's really easy to pick out, you know, which lines were not written by somebody else and what just bubbled out of his head.
Yeah, and most of the things that he says are going to be extrapolated with hyperbole and just exploding with nonsense all over them. And so that's usually a dead giveaway as well.
Yeah. My favorite tweet of the last couple of days, I could never pronounce his name. He was the prosecutor that got fired. Bashir, I think his name is. Never mind. Anyway, he tweeted out that John Kennedy is no John Kennedy. And I thought that was the best tweet, saying that the guy from Louisiana is no JFK. What the heck was his? What was it? Come on, help me. What was his name?
Are you talking a former prosecutor? Oh, is it Preet Bharara?
Yeah, never mind. Just keep going. Yeah, that's it.
Preet. That's a perfect assessment. I think it's not just that he's no JFK. He's not even John Kennedy who he used to be. You know, when he was much younger and had some sense in his brain. That guy is just an embarrassment to his state at this point. He's almost reaching Lindsey Graham level stupidity. He just sounds worse.
He really does sound worse. And what I thought was even worse is I saw Sherrod Brown on CNN this morning. And Sherrod Brown was making excuses for him, going, you know, John Kennedy's a good guy. You know, he's a smart guy. You know, that was just a really dumb thing to say. You know, he was in the moment with the crowd. I'm going, no, the guy's a nitwit.
Yeah, the guy's a nitwit. And here's the thing. Like, there are a lot of people, for those who didn't see, who have no idea what the hell we're talking about. John Kennedy went after Nancy Pelosi and called her stupid. There are a whole lot of things you can say about Nancy Pelosi. Whole lot of things. She is one of the smartest people on Capitol Hill,
right?
Bar none. She not only knows every rule, every ounce of parliamentary procedure, the woman's got a photographic memory. And so when she thinks about districts and demographics and all of these things, she's got that stuff memorized. Like, she really, truly is one of the smartest people on Capitol Hill. And, you know, I there are a lot of people who disagree with her. I'm sure my mother can't stand her. My mother, the Republican, doesn't like her, but she's really, truly brilliant.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
Thank you for bringing that around and explaining it. For folks who don't know, during the rally in Louisiana, the senator from Louisiana with Trump next to him said, "I don't mean any disrespect," which usually means get ready. There's some disrespect coming. And he didn't.
Right,
he didn't.
Exactly.
He didn't fail. He said, "But it must suck to be that dumb." That's what we're talking about. And you would think a U.S. senator would be a little more articulate.
You would think he would be a little bit more articulate. I mean, the first thing that it made me think of is, I mean, no disrespect to Senator Kennedy, but he doesn't know how dumb he is. I mean, he's that stupid. Bless his heart.
Bless his heart. I knew that was coming. So let me ask you this. Your mom's a Republican. How do you guys do it? She's not a Trumper, is she?
No, she absolutely hates Donald Trump. She didn't vote for Hillary Clinton. She, bless her heart, she marched through all of them and then wrote in John Kasich, which means that probably her entire ballot was nullified, which I was like, whatever. I want to say over the last 10 years or so, I've kind of moved her to a point where she always votes for women. So a lot of times it could be, you know, a Republican woman or a Democratic woman.
But she didn't vote for that woman.
Unfortunately. But she used to work in banking, and so she just hates Hillary Clinton because of the savings and loan scandal. She did vote for Kinder Horn in the Oklahoma 5th, and then has just continued to really grow to love her. Kendra Horn sent us a flag that flew over the Capitol when my brother passed away in April. So my parents are just like the number one fans of Kendra Horn, which is exciting. Like, that's one of those things where you're just like, those local touches like that, that's the thing that I'm talking about when we're talking about Bloomberg and all these TV ads. When you have those local touches and relationships with people, you know, in districts and doing, you know, person-to-person contact, it really does make a difference.
No, you're right. But, you know, I want to go back to the impeachment for a second because, you know, every day
it's just... Of course you do.
No, I do, because every day it seems like there's something more coming out about this. And just when you thought, wow, it can't get any worse, it gets worse. Like today, you had, you know, Mike Pence's aide coming out saying, you know, this is political. It's unusual. It's not good. And this is Pence's aide.
Yeah, and it's one of those things too, where when I think about, you know, Mike Pence's aide coming out, I wonder how much of that is, you know, is Mike Pence trying to make a move here? You know, is he expecting that Trump is going to go down and that he, you know, needs to be prepared to jump in? Is he trying to usher it on?
Okay, there's a thought. Or is he just trying to cover his own behind?
Maybe. I wouldn't be surprised about that at all. And I know, I mean, one of the things that people say when they talk about Mike Pence is that he is so hungry for power, that he is obsessed just as much or worse than Donald Trump, and he's way more sketchy and quiet and conniving and calculated, just because Trump isn't smart enough. So this is one of those things where I was like, ooh, Mike Pence really might be trying to make a move here.
Yeah. What's interesting to me is, you know, as I started the show off with, you know, Republicans were screaming last week in the skiff about how they want public transparency, they want hearings, and now that they're going to be hearings, you got people like Lindsey Graham who are saying, oh, it's all BS, I don't believe any of it. You got Jim Jordan who say, oh, I take the president's word for it. You got Lamar Alexander going, hey, I'm going to worry about national parks. You've got all these people, Ted Cruz and the other idiot from Florida. What's his name? Rubio.
Marco?
Yeah, saying we got day jobs. We're not going to watch any of it. Nonsense. You're going to watch every bit of it. And you're going to watch how you're going to be mocked in all this, because everybody who keeps saying we're going to keep our head in the sands, hopefully we get those people out.
Yeah, that's one of the things that really bothers me, is they swore on the Constitution. They swore to uphold the Constitution. They swore an oath to uphold the laws of the country. And if you don't even care enough to do your job, you have no reason to have that job. It's so frustrating to me. And I think about all these people who fought so hard to get in the skiff, you know, saying that big protest where they were like storming the skiff and ordering pizza from it and all this shit. And there's like, these guys now are saying that they're not going to be there, that they're not going to pay attention, that they're not going to watch, you know, any of the trial. And it's like, but you fought to get in there. Like, you fought.
This is what you wanted.
And now you're not even going to, you don't even care about it? Is that you admitting that this was all some big political ploy that doesn't actually mean anything? Is that what's happening here?
The answer would be, what is yes, Alex, for 200?
Precisely.
But, you know, the thing is you've got people who, and I talked about this the other day. I met a guy who's a lieutenant colonel, retired lieutenant colonel from the Army, and I asked him about Lieutenant Colonel Vindman's testimony, and he said, I don't believe it. I don't believe any of it. Because, you know, his rationale was because he thought Vindman was seeking the spotlight. And it was a weird kind of moment where I'm going, but you've got a guy in the White House who was legitimately a reality star. I mean, he always is seeking the spotlight, and yet you got a guy who twice went to his superior before being drug out of the shadows. I'm not understanding. I'm struggling.
Yeah, I feel like this is one of those things where if Colonel Vindman really was seeking the spotlight, he probably would have told his story to 60 Minutes before he would have told it to Congress. Just saying.
Yeah, I mean, it's... And then I look at this Utah Republican, this Rob Bishop, who evidently doesn't think that it's acceptable for anyone to ask him any questions. What the hell is that?
Oh my gosh, that was the that was the best video I've ever seen. It wasn't just that he refused to answer any questions. He said that the words were illegitimate. And it's like, which words were illegitimate? How do you have an illegitimate word? You know, like, I'm sure there are, like, labradoodle, like, maybe not a legitimate word until a couple of years later. Like, I don't even know what that means, because the question was pretty simple. The Center for American Progress followed him down the hall and asked him, you know, do you think it's appropriate for a president to basically bribe a foreign entity and demand that they help him with a U.S. election? And he tried to say that the question was illegitimate, and if you can just use some legitimate words, then I'll answer your question. And it's like, what?
What is
like, that doesn't even make sense.
No, this whole thing doesn't. And that's why it's important that we keep up and we keep on it, and you keep doing the great work that you're doing. Sarah, I appreciate the time. Always fun, always great.
Thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
You as well. Our good friend Sarah Burris, reporter over at Raw Story. Make sure you check out her work. Great stuff. Quick break. Right back.
Saving work in America, one show at a time. The Rick Smith Show.